Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Can you all hear me? I don't care. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to love. Hey, thank you, Mike, so much. And to the leadership here at Central Park, thanks again for having me. It's my pleasure and my honor once again to just come and just hopefully pour out a timely word for this house. I wanted to talk about, first of all, can we give our grandparents a hand? I didn't realize that it was Grandparents' Day. And how fitting that we're celebrating Grandparents' Day, and the fact that I'm going to be talking about leadership. You know, I mean, our grandparents have poured. I didn't have the luxury or the honor to grow up with grandparents. Both sets on my mom and dad's side were both passed away before I was even, well, I was born. My mom's dad survived until I was five, but I didn't recall a lot of them. But you know how much thinking about grandparents, man. You guys pour so much into our lives, and I don't even think we take an ounce of. You know, we don't even give you the credit due, really, of everything that you guys do. And how fitting that as a talking about leadership, that we're honoring grandparents at the same time. So I just wanted to share my heart today about walking in leadership. It's been brought to my attention that next week you guys are going to be voting in new elders and deacons and overseers, clergy. Today's going to be more of like a twofold message. It's going to be for the leadership itself, but also it's going to be for the body. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are called to be leaders. Not just come to church on Sunday and sit in a pew. No, we are leaders. We are to be leading the way. We are to be the light of the world. So if we could, hey, let's turn to Luke 12:48. This is one of my many verses I'm going to have today for you. But it kind of really emphasizes the importance of leadership. And see, this is where Jesus was talking to his disciples about a servant and his master, and a servant being about its master's business and taking care of the talents that his master had given him. And starting in verse 48, it says, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask for more. Have you, how many of you love to be a problem solver? How about when you're gathering, you enjoy serving your guests, or maybe you would just enjoy pouring encouragement into those around you? How about management? Is anybody in management in here? Raise your hand if you're in management. Recovery and compliance. If you can relate to any of these things that I just named out, that means that you have some leadership potential. You have some leadership attributes in your life, and these qualities. And I'm here today to talk about leadership and why it is important that as believers in Christ, we should all be walking in leadership. So let's look at leadership. Let's look at the root of leadership. See, leadership, I got two definitions for you. Leadership, this is the worldly definition. Leadership skills are the strengths and abilities individuals demonstrate that help the oversee processes, guide initiatives, and steer individuals toward the achievement of goals. But let's go to John 13, and I want to give you the biblical definition of leadership. All right, John 13:12-15. Now, this is Jesus here bringing a fantastic parable to the disciples here, and just an illustration of what leadership is. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you, or done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. If you're a leader in this house, wait, raise your hand. Are you an elder, deacon, clergy member, usher? We are called to, Jesus said, I have washed your feet, so you should wash those of the others. As a leader, it's not about your position. It's about your servanthood. And it's about doing the thing to bring others into a relationship, first of all, with Christ. And second of all, helping other believers come into a deeper relationship of the knowledge of Christ to where they can be a leader in their community. And then they can offer a service to others to show them what leadership really looks like. And it's about humbling yourself, putting away your position and your title for the benefit of other people. In Luke 22, if you guys want to flip there real fast, not a far jump. Is this okay? I love just digging through the word. I think it's so vital, because if we want to get a true aspect of what Christ is trying to do here, we need to be in his word. So Luke 22 tells us, and truly the Son of Man goes... Luke 22, 24 through 27. I apologize for that. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves. He asked the question there, who's greater? Who sits at the table or who's serving? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. It's important to point out that Jesus, who is our King of Kings, and he's our Lord of Lords, did not demand people. He did not demand people to serve him, but he himself would serve them. What greater example of leadership is there? This is the King of the universe who created the heavens and the earth, who knitted everything together by the word of his mouth. He spoke it into existence, and he gave up his holy habitation to come down and to be born of flesh and to be a sinful man, but did not sin, to serve humanity. Any other religion says, well, you got to do this for me. No, Jesus says, what can I do for you? So in leadership, we need to be servant leaders. Write this down. Does anybody remember what I said last time about note takers? Surely someone here remember what I said. Yeah, there you go. Note takers are history makers. Because there's a ton of stuff, guys. I got 8 pages here. There's a ton of stuff today. Please write it down. Because the human mind cannot collect all of this in one sitting. You're going to have to go back and go through it. So what does a servant leader do? I got four points here. A servant leader, number one, invest themselves into those around them. Not just about themselves. It's not about what they can get out of it. They constantly are pouring themselves into the lives of others. Number two, they demonstrate a willingness to give of themselves to others. They show it by what they do. In their leadership, in their talk, in their language, in their heart, everything they do is demonstrated by giving of themselves to others. Why? Because they have a mindset. If I'm ever going to get them to the place that I'm at as a leader, I have to come to their level and I have to bring them up with me. So they have to demonstrate everything by in their word and in their deed. Number three, and this is a big one. This is something I guess is just a gift that the Holy Spirit has given me. Encourage the personal growth of those they are leading over their personal desires and self-interest. So what I'm saying here is you got to encourage them even when you don't feel you don't even feel like you're an encourager. You've got to encourage them, and putting aside your personal desires. Man, I just don't feel like it today. Well, you can't afford not to feel like it today. You're a leader, and people are looking to you for the answer. And number four, give of yourselves. They give of themselves in the constant development of others. They're always looking to sacrificing their time, of sacrificing their money and their resources, because they have a heart to see other people come into a better relationship with Jesus Christ than what they are right now. Because it's not all about being saved, my friends. See, that's instantaneous. Jesus saves us and sets us free. He wants to transform your life. He wants to make you into something. He wants to bring you into a new creation. Like I was talking about last time about struggles and God forming us. He wants to make you into a new creation. And he can't do that if you're constantly allowing yourself to be in your seat of complacency and not pushing aside your personal interests and your desires. Giving of themselves and the constant development of others. Think of it like this. Every leader... My former youth pastor, Phil Miller, he's the head pastor now at the First Church of Christ in Georgetown. He said, he gave me this analogy, and he said, use this. Does everybody know who Barnabas and Timothy and Paul are in the book of Acts? Just think about it. Does everybody know who those three people are? He said it like this. Every leader needs someone to mentor and someone to walk with. That would be Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, they walked together, and they constantly were mentoring one another. The second one is everyone needs someone to encourage and hold accountable, and that's Timothy. You know, Paul was encouraging Timothy and to become the man that God destined him to be. And then we all need a Paul in our life. We all need to have somebody that'll pour into us. As a leader, yeah, iron sharpens iron, so one man will sharpen another. So when I'm constantly pouring into you of leadership, I need somebody over here pouring into me and building me up and strengthening me. My friends, leadership does not exalt itself, it serves. If you're in a position in this house and you think it's a place of honor, but if you think that it's your right to demand certain things, you're wrong. Oh, I know I struck some chords there, but you're wrong. Leadership is not about that. Leadership is about putting your own selfish stuff away and for the good of the people, serving them, bringing them into a stronger relationship with Jesus. See, true leadership, a servant's leadership, it shows respect to others. True leaders labor for others as a servant would. God's view of greatness is the exact opposite of the world's. The worldly view of leadership says that, oh, you're on this position here, so everybody must meet your need. Everybody must come to your beck and call and do what you want them to do. Now, I'm not saying, my friends, body of Christ, I'm not saying don't honor those who are above you, because the Bible is clear. We should honor those who have been placed above us. But I'm saying leaders, do not lord it over them, of your position or your title. See, in Matthew, let's flip over real fast to Matthew 28, chapter 20. This will really hit it home as a servant leader. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. Same is true with us. We need to be giving of ourselves for many, for other people. You want to see this church grow, body? Well, first of all, leaders, do you want to see this church grow? Then begin to allow yourself to be humbled so that you can gain the influence of others, and then in return, they will see your light. Then they will begin to demonstrate what you're showing, and then they themselves will become greater leaders. Hallelujah. As a leader, you must be willing to sacrifice. You have to be willing to sacrifice. You must be willing to serve those around you and to give up of yourself. We're touching this again. To give up of yourself for the greater good of the team. We're all one team, aren't we, body? We're just one body, many parts, one head. So let's give up of ourselves for others. Let's stop portraying this, well, this is how we've always done it. Well, I'm on the leadership team, so this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I think. You need to cut that mentality out because it ain't going to get us nowhere. Because all it's doing is driving a wedge and it's bringing disunity into the body. You want people to follow you? Let them follow you as you follow Christ. And then what did Christ do? He came to serve, not to be served. Therefore, if there's any, now this is in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Now, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So not only was Jesus talking about it, not only was Luke talking about it, but then here the Apostle Paul comes along and he starts talking about it. So there's a common denominator here, my friends, that we have to humble ourselves to bring others into the position of leadership that they were called to be. When it comes to being a leader, you have to be constantly growing. Constantly. You have no time and no room for complacency and as a leader. Because people are always watching you. Their eye is always on you, and they're always, they're judging you. Now, I'm not saying in a condemnation judgment, but they're constantly looking for something in you that they can see and that they can relate to. We cannot afford, as a leader in God's house, we can't afford to just sit back and be comfortable and think, well, I've got voted into this position, I'm okay. This is God's will for my life. No, God's will for your life is to put your crown down at the throne of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants in your life, is that when he gives you an honor, I was just listening to the song earlier this morning, when he gives you an honor, his desire is you would take the honor back and put it at his feet. See, that's servanthood. That's humility and being a leader. Because leaders lead from the front, and leaders lead with enthusiasm, and leaders lead with urgency. John Maxwell? He's a great leadership guy. He's a great leadership pastor. He says when a leader gets better, everybody gets better. And that's because everything falls on leadership. Everything. From how the service flows to how the hospital visits, everything, anything you can think of falls on leadership. That's God's plan. That's his design. To have leaders, people that can go out and help people come into a relationship with Christ and help others come into a deeper relationship with Christ. See, when you're growing as a leader and your knowledge is increasing, you cannot just gain knowledge. You have to apply it. Well, I've been a Christian for 50 years, you know. That's always how I've done it. And, you know, I know what they're talking about. No. Apply it. Humble yourself and allow God to use you. It's not about yourself. It's not about your title. It's about him. And it's about bringing others along. I'm doing a better job preaching. You're saying amen right now. So here are four thoughts. Here's another four things I want you to write down. I told you, I got 8 pages of notes, my friend. When I was asked to come back and talk about leadership, I thought, my God, I have been a leader in God's house for well over 6 years of being an overseer to building teams up. I've watched this man, Matt Jones, come into a deeper relationship with Christ. I've watched him grow as a leader. You know, I've 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 I know what leadership looks like, and I know what it's supposed to be. And so when I was asked to talk about this, I thought, my God, Lord, I have never spoken on a subject of leadership. I've listened to leadership podcasts. I've been under a leadership pastor, but to actually deliver a leadership message is going to be one. It's going to be very, maybe nerve-wracking. And somebody asked me today, Dusty asked me, he said, are you ready? And I said, I'm never ready. You're never ready for this. You just got to trust God. Just got to trust the Lord. So, four thoughts. Number one, here are four thoughts that we all should be applying to our life. And the first one is this: be a student. If you're a leader, be a student. Always find room for growth in your life. Never have the mentality that you've achieved it, that you've made it. You won't make it until you die or Jesus calls us home. I want to, the reason I say be a student, because here, as some of you know me as a representative for Schwann's, and for 10 years I've been in this company, and for the last 6 years I've been in the top 10 in the nation. But I've just recently taken a position of leadership that allows me to train other reps, which I should have been training years ago, but long story short, I didn't have the time. My routes were so large. But so I went to Wisconsin for 2 days, took my family, it was a small vacation, and I was able to be in a class of about 30 other gentlemen, and we were able to pour into each other's life, and we learned some very practical leadership principles when it comes to, in our business, of what we need to do serving in the communities. And so some reps in the company thought, well, man, Curtis, you're going to go there. You already know it all. I said, no, there's always room for growth. There's something I'm going to learn that I'm going to be able to take from this class and go pour into the other representatives and allow them to gain and come into a better understanding of what we do in this company and to be providing a better service, a better quality, and a better customer experience to their communities that they're going to be in. So, you know, I went to Wisconsin, and for 2 days, man, I had the opportunity because of my stature in the company of being in the top five in the nation. I was able to pour into the hearts of the other guys. But I learned so much while I was there. And it made me think about our relationship with Christ and how we have not attained it. We won't attain it because we've always constantly growing. Why? Because our God takes us from glory to glory to glory. We always are moving forward. If you're a leader, you have to be moving forward. You cannot stop. You can't afford to stop. There's people in your life that are counting on you. They need you to be the leader that you are desired from God to be. He puts you in that position for this very reason, to bring them along, to help them. They don't know the way. You have to show them the way. You have to give them the nudge. You have to push them along. Because naturally as humans, we hate being pushed. I'm forcing me to do something I don't want to do. Well, I'm sorry. We have to. Because we are naturally complacent as humans. We like comfortable. Remember Forged Through the Flame? We like to be comfortable. We don't like the heat. Number two, love those you lead. Love them. You don't need power, position, or a title, or a degree to lead. All you need is trust. People will follow those who have a heart rather than those who have a title. Can you tell them, get a little passionate about this right now? It's so true, though. I would rather follow somebody that I can depend on, I can count on, I can trust in them because I know who they are. I know they mean well. Than someone who just walked in the room and said, "I'm the president of the United States." That doesn't mean I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to follow you. To be a great leader, you must not let your position get to your head. Write that down, please. To be a great leader. Now, this goes to the leadership here at Central Park. To be a great leader, you cannot let your position get to your head. You must honor up, body of Christ. You must honor what? Up. Leadership, you must honor down. And then we all honor around. We put everybody down. in the same basket. We honor up, down, all around. Why? Because it shows love. You love those you lead. I don't care if I'm the overseer of three ministries. I'm going to love the new person that just came on the scene just as much as I'm going to love the other one. I'm going to treat them with just as much respect as the person that's been on the team for 15 years. It don't matter. I'm going to honor them all. Because that shows leadership. It doesn't show favoritism. It doesn't show I just lost train of thought there. My apologies. Number three, lead by example. Lead by example. Be the type of leader that you would want to follow. Be somebody that you look at in the mirror and you're thinking, you know what? I think I could follow him. Because he's humble. He's gracious. He's kind. Heck, you can just add the Galatians 5:22 serum to it. All fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I could follow that person. Lead by example. Be diligent. Number four, be diligent. Paul tells us, let's go to Romans 12 here. You guys got to forgive me. I brought my Bible today because I've been looking for my Bible for 3 months. And it was at the assembly on the host, the usher's desk. Just sitting there waiting for me. I kept thinking, where did I leave it? Did I take it to Brockton? Did I take it to Seidel? My apologies. Romans 12. Romans 12. 12:8. Romans 12, verse 8. Now see, this is Paul talking about God's grace, and he's talking about the measure of faith that we've been given. And he says, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. Stop. We must lead with diligence. The word diligence means to be persistent, to be on the spot, to be constant. To be having a plan, to be diligently. We seek God diligently, don't we? We want the best for our lives because we want God to bless us. And he says, if you will seek me diligently, you will find me. Okay, so why can't we lead diligently? If we're seeking God, it's the same as we're leading. Because if we're leading, we're seeking. Because we're seeking to be more like Christ. Lead diligently. How can we lead others into a stronger and deeper relationship with Jesus if we are not first evaluating ourselves to make sure that we have shown ourselves to be approved? How can we encourage someone else? Hey, come with me. Come with me. Follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. But you yourself are not approved. You're still struggling with this addiction over here. You got to get your life right. Make sure as a leader, you make sure that your life is right. I'm not talking perfection, folks. I'm just talking about making sure you have confessed your sins, confessed your shortcomings. You've taken note and taken inventory of what's going on in your life. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to do what he only can do, which is transform us into his image. Not into perfection, but to be like Christ. Because perfection will come when we go meet with him. In leadership, we constantly... I just touched on this a little bit ago. In leadership, you constantly have to be leading. You have to be. Why? Because you're in the public eye. People might know that you're the elder of the church in Tilton at Central Park. You have to be leading all the time. Because if they see you do something that they think is kind of iffy, you've just lost it. Your influence in the community, your influence in the world, in your world, you've lost it. Now, there's grace and forgiveness for that. But I'm saying we constantly have to be leading all the time. We have to be leading well. We have to be leading diligently. Question, are you a leader in God's house? Are you an elder or a deacon? Maybe you're a team member. You're a team leader at your work. maybe a Bible study. Maybe you're just, you got a relationship with somebody that you've been trying to talk to about Jesus. See, it really doesn't matter whether you are an elder or overseer in God's house or a team leader at work. The only thing that matters is that you are making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity as a leader. Because as leaders, we constantly have to be building those up, building others up around us. Are you strengthening your team leadership here at Central Park? Are you strengthening them or are you bringing them down? Because it was brought to my attention that there was some disunity in the house here. And hence why this message was brought to my attention. Because everything falls on leadership. Leaders, are you tearing up? Are you building up? Or are you tearing down? So what happens if we're not vesting ourselves into those around us? What happens? They'll begin to struggle. Your team, the members of the house, will begin to struggle if we're not investing into them. Here's some examples. Lacking in vision. Is there a vision in this house? If there's no vision, the Bible says people perish. That's where it all starts. You gotta have a vision. You gotta have a godly vision. What has God desired for this leadership team to do to lead this community? And body of Christ, with that leadership, with that vision, you need to be reminded constantly of what the goal is. So you need to be refreshing yourself of, okay, here's our vision. This is what God told the leadership to do. And as the leaders are leading the body, here we're going to honor them. And we need to make sure that the leaders are following the vision. Discouraged. Issues are arising. Point taken, disunity. There's no unity. There's division in the house. God, I hope you guys love me after this. But I'm being obedient. Issues are arising. Maybe people are feeling burnt out. They're tired of serving. Leader, it's your responsibility to encourage them to say, you know what? We serve an excellent God, so everything we do is excellent. We serve a God who first gave of himself to us, so now we need to be giving ourselves to the community. We need to be giving ourselves to our guests that walk through our doors on every Sunday or Wednesday night. People need recharged, leaders. They need to be recharged. They need to be fired back up. They got to be rekindled. That flame's getting dim. They got to get it. Blow some air on it. Watch it ignite again. Toxic environments. I'm going to spend some time on this because this is a big issue in the church today. Toxic environments. You got to find out. Leadership, you got to find out. If there's something going on, if there's disunity, which I know there is, you got to find it and you got to cut it out now. You got to cut it out. That's a toxic environment, and it's all it's doing is spreading like gangrene. Yeah, people are still coming, but are you attracting new people? Are you attracting worldly people to your house? Because if there's division, they're not coming. Because the Bible, Jesus said, if a house divided against itself will fall. We must confront this with the right attitude, and you cannot cast blame. As a leader, you cannot correct what you're not willing to confront. Write it down. You cannot correct what you're not willing to confront. What is happening in this house that you're not confronting because you're afraid it might push people away or it might scare people out? People that have been here for 50 years. It doesn't matter how long they've been here. We want them to come to heaven. We want them into a relationship with Jesus. But if they are bringing disunity into the house, if they have their own selfish agendas, if they have their own personal gain, it needs to be dealt with. And as a leader, you must create an environment that is helpful and responsible and always confronts bad behavior. Always. That's your job as a leader, to bring others into a deeper relationship with Christ, to deal with issues. Remember, once again, everything falls on leadership. Everything. You cannot simply just come on church on Sunday and get by with the same old, same old. You have to deal with it because you're a leader. God has appointed you as a leader. Now, you might have been, maybe you're not even voted into a leader, but you serve here actively at your church, you're a leader. Because you don't have the title, that doesn't mean a thing. To God, titles don't mean anything. All they are is a worldly representation of a position that you're in. He looks at your heart. Are you willing to lead? Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and help others come into a, when they're struggling and when they're frustrated and they're burnt out? Are you willing to, you know, hey, let's come, why don't you come with me? Let's encourage one another. The Bible says to encourage one another and to lift each other up, to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another with melody in your heart. That's what Paul tells us to do. We need to be doing that as leaders, encouraging others to do it. And a leader is always, there's some transformation coming on this place today. And a leader is always the root cause of the problem. What'd you say? Yeah, I said it. The leader's the problem. You're it. I don't care what Mary Smith did. You're the problem. Because you are who people are looking to. They're looking to you. You're the leader. Now, if that issue can be dealt with on a later time. But why did that issue happen? Why is there disunity in this house? Why? The leadership did not deal with it. It's their fault. That's a humbling experience. I know I'm stepping on toes right now, but I love you guys, and I'm being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's wanting to tell you. There is to see this house, to go and be to be a light into this community, you got to come together. And that means putting your selfish agendas aside. Leaders, put your selfish agendas aside. What's best for the flock? Because I thought Jesus left the 99 for the one. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, a leader looks at any problem he or she is having and has to admit to themselves that they are the problem. When a leader starts taking responsibility, they immediately begin to see through a whole new perspective. Humility will come into their situation and allow them to reevaluate the problem. Doing this allows pride and blame not to set in, because that's what Satan wants. He wants to bring bitterness into the house. If I can get them to be upset with them because of what they did, then man, I got them. No, get the pride out of the way. Leadership, get the pride out of the way. Body of Christ, get your pride out of the way. Give your leaders some grace. Did not Christ give you grace? Did he not bless you? Did he not forgive you? Forgive your leaders. Pride. The original sin, pride. It's amazing how everything falls back to pride. Everything. Every sin, every issue goes right back to pride. We have to add value. We got to add value to what we do again. As a leader, connecting with others is the key to influence. Write this phrase down. I'll say it a couple times. You have to add value. As a leader, connecting with others is the key to influence. And influence is the key to leading. And leading is the key to success. Connecting with others is the key to influence. And influence is the key to leading. And leading is the key to success. Think about that paragraph right there. Just that phrase. Think about that. You first have to connect. You can't connect with somebody if you're not willing to come off your own high soapbox and come down to their level. influence. If you have no connection, you have no influence. How can I be influential in Matt's life down here if I've not connected with him first? If I've not found out what he likes, if I've not found out what God's brought him from, if I've not found out what he struggles with maybe, how can I connect and influence him? And then what? Influence is the key to leading. Because now I've connected, and now I've got influence in their life. So guess what? It makes the job so much easier of leading them. I can now lead them. Why? They trust me. They can count on me. They can confide in me. Add value to your leadership. In closing, to be a successful leader, you must get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's not about you, it's about him. This is his kingdom come, not ours. He's given us an awesome responsibility to lead others. And all we care about is leading ourselves and what we want to do and what feels good to us and what we think this is what we've always done here at Central Park. Well, I'm sorry, come to my friends, if I know my God, he's a creator. He constantly is moving forward. He's not stopped. He won't stop. He ain't got time to stop because there's people that need to come into the kingdom. He's creating all the time. He's moving forward all the time. When I say creating, I want you to think of that. When God creates, instead of saying, oh, God creates constantly, God moves forward constantly. He's always moving forward. So back to the, we ain't got time. You don't have time to sit in the seat of complacency. You ain't got time. Life is short. What if that person that you've keep, oh, I'll just pray if I should talk to them. Maybe I should just pray if that's what God wants me to do. Oh, God, I just feel like I need to be leading them, but I don't know. I just kind of, you know, they go to the bar on Saturday nights and maybe I shouldn't, you know. Step out of your comfort zone. Get in the flame a little bit. Lead them to Christ. It's not about you. It's not about what you're speaking. It's not even about me. It's not about me right now. It's not even about this. It's about them. It's about him and what he wants to do here. So it's come to my attention that you guys are voting next Sunday on new leaders. This position's coming up. I want to ask you a question. Are you going to vote based on your preference? Are you going to vote because you like the person? Are you going to vote based on your values? Are they a leader? Can they lead? Do they have influence? Do they connect well? Do they connect with the people? Do they have influence in the community? Don't just vote somebody in because you've known them all your life. That's not what it's for. Father, have your way right now. Let's all pray. Head bowed, eyes closed. No one look around. If you're in this place and you're a leader, you've been leading in God's house for many years, but you have found yourself into the seat of complacency. I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. This is a moment of breakthrough for your life. Raise your hand. If you're a leader and you've been leading, but you've been complacent, raise your hand. Wow, humility. This is where leadership begins, is acknowledging the fact that you had a mistake. I want you to think about your brothers and sisters in Christ for a moment. I want you to think about how you can better lead them. What can you do in your life by putting your own agenda aside, putting your own selfish desires and personal pride aside, and putting their needs above your own? Think about it for a moment, just a brief moment. Now, if you're not a leader, raise your hand. If you're not a leader in God's house, raise your hand. If you're not a leader on the job, raise your hand. I love you. It's time to step up and to lead. Because God's desire for you is to lead. Yes, we're sheep in his sheepfold. But he has desired us and created us to lead. We are the light of the world, church. We are the salt of the earth, too. We cannot lead if we don't have any flavor and if our light is dim. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want to give you this opportunity because this is where all leadership begins right here. You cannot be a successful leader if you don't know Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking this is some spooky thing. This is a real life-changing moment for your life. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you for just a show of hands. If you do, you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, raise your hand. This is a very important decision. Your eternity will determine your decision right now. All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for this house. I thank you for the spirit of this house. And I thank you, Father, for what you are about to do in this house. Father, may your plans and your purposes continue to flow to fruition into this place, God. And may this house begin to be a place that will thrive and that would attract the worldly people, that they would begin to make decisions that are based on how do we provide an atmosphere of worship to the lost? How do we provide a better service to our community? What do we have to do to this house itself to bring others into the sheepfold? But first and foremost, Father, I pray that unity would come in this home right now. That this house and this body would begin to be unified. And that the leaders would begin to unify themselves together. Because, Lord, you said that if the house divided against itself would fall. And if the leadership of this house, Father God, is not unified, there is no future. So I declare a fresh anointing right now into this home, into this house, and that your purposes and your plans would continue to flow here, that your grace would continue to be upon this house, that your favor, God, would continually rest upon this house. And I pray that the body of Christ here, that your body, Father, that you've paid your precious blood for, that you've died on the cross for, that they would rise up and realize the importance of what you have what you sacrificed was for them. That they would realize that they have a purpose and a destiny in their life waiting to lead others to Christ, to lead others into a stronger relationship with you, Lord. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity. Father, I ask that you would just, I bless this, Father, I bless this house now in the name of Jesus. I command unity and peace in the strong name of Jesus. Thank you, my friends. Amen. Thank you for having me. I hope you love me. I really do. But I've enjoyed sharing my heart.